Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Wake up, Dre. Let's get it going, Doc.
Wake up, Rob. Wake up, America. You know what time it is. What time is it, Rob?
Late Night Sports Talk.
Well, man. Oh, yeah. What? Here we go.
Your time is up. My time is now. You
well,
can't
man.
See me. My time is now. It's a
what?
Franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me.
Wake up,
my time is now.
In case you forgot, old fellow.
You got your own Dre beats going there, huh, Doc?
Oh, I got my Dre beats going, man. It's a fantastic day. Once again, America, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Andre Peterson joined by Robert Ford. Today is Wednesday, September the 12th. And as always, we have a fantastic packed show for you guys to tune in. I set the table. And we got a lot of things to talk about, so let's jump right in. We got some college football stuff to talk about. Some big news that just came down with Notre Dame officially joining the ACC. There's a couple stipulations with that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the most impressive college football team for week 2. I'm sure very excited to see what Robert picks. I think it's going to be LSU, but we'll see how it plays out. We're going to talk about some predictions for some big college football games for this weekend. We're going to do some special shout-outs for our fantasy football sports leagues. We've got a lot of love for all the players that are out there, so we're going to show them some love. Thank you guys for playing. Big news for the NFL, Roger Goodell. Some meetings with the supposedly bounty for. We're going to talk about that. We talked about Mr. Jay Cutler talking trash to the Green Bay Packers. We're going to talk about the most impressive NFL team, some big games for week 2, some baseball with the Orioles and Yanks, and we're going to sort out the National League wild card pitcher. A lot of things to talk
about.
Man,
we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Woo!
Let's get it going.
I know. Rob, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, doing great. So excited that we're in the midst of football season. We're going into week 2 of the NFL, week 3 in the college football. And as you mentioned earlier, we got to talk about Notre Dame joining the ACC. But once again, Notre Dame, their ego is getting in the way of them joining in football. They're still going to be an independent in football. They're joining the ACC in every other sport except football. And a part of this agreement is that they will play against ACC. The 5 games of their football season will go against the ACC, but once again, it will not count as an ACC game for those ACC opponents. You know, they're going to join in all other sports except for football. And my question to you is, can Notre Dame be relevant this day and age in college football as an independent, or do they have to join a conference?
I mean, this is a question that I was definitely rolling around in my head. And once again, for those that want to call in, I want to throw this out real quick. I've got to throw the number out there. For those that want to call in, 424-243-9519, and also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at 12th Man Sports, all that fun stuff too. But just to answer your question, Rob, and I think they can be relevant, and this is the reason why. As much as I'm a big fan of this move, being an ACC guy with Georgia Tech and vice versa, you know, obviously if you're Notre Dame, you definitely want to keep those independent games such as the big games like USC, you know, Navy, obviously Michigan State, stuff like that. Those are games that are pretty cool to have for Notre Dame. Now, obviously they're not the same school like we had, obviously, in the past, but I think the brand is strong enough in that it still provides some type of relevance to the college football landscape. It's a big, big win for the ACC. I know, you know, obviously they got to deal some things with the Big East where they're currently with now, but, you know, obviously it can do nothing but help strengthen the league, and I think it's relevant. So I'd like to hear your comments on that as well, sir.
Well, yeah, I guess my answer to that question is yes, I think they will be still relevant in college football. They're still a big name, as you mentioned. They are a brand. And playing against 5 ACC schools every year, I mean, there's Notre Dame against Florida State, Notre Dame against Miami, Notre Dame against Georgia Tech. I mean, those could still be some huge matchups. And as you mentioned, they still play USC. They'll still play Michigan and Michigan State. So they will be relevant. But I don't think they can win a national championship without being in a conference. They have to be in a conference this day and age if they want to win a national championship. You got to realize here, it's been 24 years since Notre Dame has won a national title. 1988, I don't know if you guys remember the name, Tony Rice, the starting quarterback, Notre Dame, on that team. But it's been 24 years. Lou Holtz was the head coach. It's been a long time since they've been relevant in a national championship picture. I think people will still watch their games. They'll still be relevant. They'll still be talked about. But I think they need to get into a conference if they're going to compete in a, for national titles. And number one, being an independent, it's going to be hard on recruiting. It's going to be hard to get the top-notch recruits. You know, if you join the ACC in football, you know, you can tap into getting more recruits out of Florida. You can tap into getting more out of the Tidewater, Virginia area. You can tap into getting more recruits out of Georgia. And without getting any affiliated in the conference, it's just going to be hard to still get those elite type players. And so, I mean, that's just my take. I think they'll still be relevant, but national championship, I don't think so. But this is a win-win, though, for the ACC. The ACC says, hey, you're going to still play five of our teams in football, and you're going to be a part of our basketball conference. Now, the ACC, by far, is going to be the top number one basketball conference. You know, Syracuse is coming in, Pittsburgh's coming in, Notre Dame's coming in. You're already joining North Carolina and Duke. So it definitely makes it a strong basketball conference. But I just would still have liked to see Notre Dame come full circle all the way in and join as a football conference as well.
So real quick, so if you're Notre Dame, why would you actually do this move? How is this relevant? How does this help you if you're Notre Dame?
Well, basically what it does is it helps them. The Big East is a deteriorating conference, and Notre Dame was competing in all other sports in the Big East. And as you know, the Big East is fastly deteriorating here. I mean, a lot of the majors, West Virginia is left to go to the Big 12. Syracuse, Pittsburgh is already leaving to go to the ACC. So many of the major programs are you know, jumping ship, leaving conference. I wouldn't be surprised if Connecticut moves and go to the ACC here in a few years. I mean, you just got to go back a few years ago. You know, the Big East lost Virginia Tech. They lost Boston College. They lost Miami. So they're still losing to major schools. So basically Notre Dame says, hey, we're going to solidify the rest of our sports in a solid conference with a solid foundation, which the ACC has. And they still solidify their football program, still going against five ACC teams every year. And, you know, Notre Dame, as we mentioned, they're independent. They have their own TV contract with NBC, better known as the Notre Dame Broadcast Company. And they still have their television contract with NBC. So that's the main reason why they don't want to get into another conference. They want to still keep that independent contract with NBC and where they can keep their own money themselves. But so definitely the rest of their sporting programs gets into a solid conference since the Big East is deteriorating.
Very, very interesting. So there you have it. I mean, Notre Dame is definitely one of those schools that you love to hate, or you hate to love, or whatever you want to call it, because they definitely have a national brand, and that's something that I think that's fun for them. You know, obviously, you know, you talk about the Cowboys, the Yankees, schools that are just teams that just have a national footprint. They have fans that are, you know, global, or not global, excuse me, that are, they obviously United States-wise. So this is something that, you know, can't help, it can only help them, if you will. But, you know, like I said, we'll see how it plays out. And it's going to be a very, very interesting next couple of years for Notre Dame football and all that stuff, too. So we'll see what happens. And I know they're not happy to hear your thoughts about that, them not getting a chance for the national championship. But, you know, I think it's definitely they're taking the right step. So I think we'll leave it at that, unless you would have anything else to add as far as that.
Moving right along.
Yeah, moving right along. He just had nothing to say. Like I said, for those who want to call in the show, we have the number 424-243-9519. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. I know we got some Notre Dame fans out there too, so it's going to be interesting how that plays out. The most impressive college football team in week number two. There's a lot of teams that scored a lot of points, Rob, but who do you think was pretty much more impressive in your eyes?
Well, based on, I watched a lot of college football this past weekend, and based on what I saw, and I know America, y'all going to think I'm biased, you guys always do, But, you know, if you listen to the show last week, I clearly said I thought Alabama was the most impressive team in week one. And I was not impressed with LSU in week one. I was not impressed with LSU at all in week one. I wasn't impressed with the quarterback play. I wasn't impressed with some things even defensively. But in week two, a lot of things changed. And I have to admit, I thought LSU was the most impressive team based on the opponent that played and how impressive they looked. This past week, I thought Zach Mattenberger played a lot better. He was making quick decisions with the football. He was reading defenses. He was stepping up in the pocket. And, you know, a couple of his wide receivers had some drops in the game, but he looked a lot more decisive. I thought defensively and offensively, LSU just dominated the line of scrimmage. It's a solid football team, Washington, you know, who's just ranked just outside of the top 25. Coming into that game, and they just totally annihilated them. And it wasn't even close, 41-3. So I would have to say, is it enough to get Alabama? I mean, LSU up to number one? Obviously not in the pollsters' minds. They still have Alabama 1 and USC 2. But I can promise you this, I was not impressed with USC this past weekend. They struggled with Syracuse. Yeah. Defensively, they did not play well at all. I mean, offensively, they're still putting up a lot of points. But I was not impressed overall with USC. Some things, special teams didn't look that great for them as well. And in my personal opinion, you know, I know America is not going to want to hear this, but based on what I've seen these first couple of weeks, Alabama and LSU looks like the best two teams in the country. Same thing as we had last year in the national championship game.
Yeah, I got to agree. I think Alabama played probably one of the better teams. And obviously, they played a lesser opponent in Western Kentucky. But the way that they handled business, because some teams, they kind of played down in the competition, but they were able to keep it going. It looks very impressive. A.J. McCarron's doing this thing. So you got to give them their props. And they're just they're keeping the train rolling. Nick Saban has that team focused and locked in. So we'll see what happens at the end of the year, too, and could be another collision course for these interesting teams, too. So we'll see how everything plays out with that.
Yeah, and Alabama's got a decent test this weekend with Arkansas. But Arkansas coming off a bad loss to Louisiana Monroe. And I know Tyler Wilson got hurt. You know, he came back to practice today. It's a possibility he's going to play this week with or without Tyler Wilson. Arkansas is just not good enough in the trenches to play with Alabama. I see Alabama winning this game by at least 2 to 3 touchdowns over Arkansas this weekend.
I thought you were going to say you thought Arkansas was playing pretty impressive for you. So I'm glad you kind of stayed away from that too, man. So but good job, man. Keeping it going right along. So we have a lot of big games coming up this weekend, Rob. So let's talk about some predictions. One of the big games, obviously, we've got number 18, Florida, at number 23, Tennessee. Tennessee is actually favored by 3 in this particular contest. And it's pretty close. The oddsmakers have this. And I think very, very big game. And only because of the fact that it's in Tennessee, I'm slightly agreeing with the naysayers. I think I'm going to go with Tennessee only because it's at Neyland Stadium. So I know it's going to be a very competitive game. We'll see how everything plays out. But I think it goes to Tennessee because of the home field advantage.
I totally agree with you on that one. I'm going to go with Tennessee as well. Tyler Bray, I think he's an underrated quarterback a lot of people in America don't talk about. And I like this Tennessee team. I think they will win at home, and I think they'll win by exactly about 3 points. I think it's going to be a really close game. Florida's coming off a tough road win at Texas A&M. I think it's going to be kind of tough for them to go win 2 tough road games in a row. I think they'll be a little road weary here, going up against a solid team. But I am very impressed with Florida's defense, and I really think it's going to be a really good game. But I think Tennessee squeaks out this victory over Florida at home.
Very, very nice. The next game that we're going to talk about, we've got number 2 USC at number 21 Stanford. USC is actually favored by 9 in this game. And despite the fact that USC didn't play well versus Syracuse, as you mentioned earlier, Rob, I actually think they're going to be tuned in and they're going to handle business against Stanford. Obviously, Stanford has Andrew Luck's successor, and Josh Nunes, but they don't really have a primary go-to receiver, so I think that Stanford's going to struggle. I think that USC is going to pull this game out without any problems. They're going to be focused in.
Yes, I think USC goes up to the Bay Area and get this win as well. But in the words of Lee Corso, it's closer than the experts thinks here. I think USC wins the game, but I think Stanford hangs in with them for about 2 to 3 quarters, and maybe USC pulls out a 10 to 14 point victory here in the end. But I think USC goes up to the Bay Area and gets this win as well.
Gotcha, gotcha. Moving right along to our last one. We're going to talk about number 20, Notre Dame. They've been in the news, so we got to throw them back in here. Winning against number 10, Michigan State. MSU is actually favored by 6 in this particular contest. And Michigan State has had a dominating defense. They have not they've not allowed an offensive touchdown in the first two games. And you got to look at some things, too, because Notre Dame actually, in addition to causing some news with the ACC, they've been kind of having a mini controversy with their quarterbacks. I think they're going to start a sophomore, Everett Golson, over junior Tommy Reeves, if you will. I just hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly, Rob. And,
yes.
And I think that it's going to be a problem for Notre Dame. I think Michigan State's going to definitely continue to play well, and I think they're going to actually pull this game out.
Yes, I totally agree. I was not impressed with Notre Dame this past weekend against Purdue. Was not impressed with their performance at all. And I think it's going to be tough for them to go up to East Lansing, Michigan, to beat Michigan State. I like Michigan State to get this victory as well.
Got it. So we're moving right along. Like I said, if you have anything to comment on, you know, obviously you can follow us on our Twitter at the number 12 Man Sports. And obviously we're on Facebook and all that fun stuff. So definitely feel free to make some comments. Tell us how you like the show. Anything you want to talk about, we're here. The number to call in if you want to add your thoughts, it is 424-243-9519. Rob, man, let's kind of switch some gears here. Let's talk about we've got some big shout-outs for a lot of our people in the fantasy football world, and we want to thank you guys for playing in our 12-man sports leagues. We've got a lot of things to shout out. So, Rob, I'm going to turn over the show to you. And show some love to a lot of our listeners and a lot of our people in the leagues.
Yeah, well, basically the 12th Man Sports Fantasy Football League. I want to first give a shout-out to Crazy Crew, my good
Crazy
buddy
Crew.
Wayne DeGrange. Crazy Crew, and Crew is spelled K-R-E-W-E. You got to be from New Orleans to understand that a little bit. But I want to give a shout-out to Wayne DeGrange. Had the most impressive Week 1 Fantasy Football victory in the 12 man sports fantasy league. I believe he won like 146-70. I want to also give another shout out to the Shark, good buddy
Shark.
Manny down in Houston. I want to give a shout out to him. I think he had the most points scored in week one in fantasy football. Scored 172 points for his team. So we want to thank you all for competing again. We still got 16 more weeks left in fantasy football. And I want to basically give them a shout-out for having the best Week 1 performances in the 12-man sports fantasy football league. And I want to also give my co-host a little shout-out here, Andre Peterson. He's in first place
Woo-hoo!
In our college pick'em. I think he's in first place with the best record so far in our college pick'em. I'm still coming for you, bruh. So look out. I want to give him a shout-out. He's still in first place after 2 weeks in the college football pick'em challenge. And, you know, I'm going to give myself a little shout-out for being in first place in Andre's D War Room fantasy football. So I'll give myself a little love here on the show as well. But I want to thank you all for once again competing in the 12-man sports fantasy challenges, you know, survival football, fantasy football, and the college pick'em. Stay tuned for our fantasy basketball league. So we should be having a draft coming up there in about 6 or 7 weeks for the start of that as well. But let's move on to some NFL coverage here, Dr. Dre. And I know we got a lot to talk about on that front as well.
Sounds good. And like I said, just want to thank you for all the love. And for those who want to call, you know, 1-800-ANDRE-WINS, you know, the 800 number is out there too for those that no, I'm just joking, man. Thanks, guys. Like I said, just double up. Thank you guys for playing in the leagues. You know, Wayne and Crazy Man, we love you guys, man. It's a lot of love. So moving right along. But, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the NFL, and we're going to switch gears. And Roger Goodell had some meetings here with the Bounty 4. And I don't know if you've heard anything as far as what the actual outcome on this, Rob. I'm going to kind of turn this over to you, you know, kind of what you've been hearing from our sources regarding this particular topic.
Well, actually, they haven't met yet. They're going to be meeting.
Yeah.
I think they're targeting for another meet date to be this coming Tuesday. And basically the players have agreed to meet with them. And but the players are asking to agreed to meet with Goodell under one condition, is that, you know, if Goodell does have any sort of evidence that he brings witnesses, and in a nutshell, the players are saying, hey, we don't want anything hearsay or anything like that. If somebody is saying that we did such and such, we want them in the room with us. We want to hear. We want to see what kind of evidence we have, and that kind of thing. And basically the players are saying to Goodell, we want a fair argument. We don't want you to just go into your office and say, this is what you have against us, without hearing anything from some witnesses. And I think that's perfectly fair. I mean, you can't accuse a guy of doing something without, you know, showing any kind of evidence or anything of what you're hearing, without them doing cross examinations and things of that nature, which Goodell did initially. He just basically just came up with his own judgment without giving these guys a chance to defend themselves. And I think, in a nutshell, that's, you know, what a lot of our arguments has been in this case. And so, you know, and it sounds like, you know, I don't know how much evidence or who witnesses they're going to be willing to bring in, but, you know, the players have agreed to meet with them under that condition. And the players have temporarily dropped their lawsuit against Roger Goodell. But if Roger Goodell doesn't abide by what they want in this meeting, they're going to go back to the courts and, you know, sue them again, basically, is basically what I'm hearing. So this could be a long fight, but we'll see. Hopefully Goodell will cooperate with them, and we'll kind of see how that goes along come Tuesday.
Gotcha. Thank you for that, too. I wasn't sure if there's anything interesting that have actually transpired, but I appreciate that you clear that up for all of us in radio land. We got about 8 minutes or so left, so let's jump into some more talk about the NFL. If you haven't heard by now, Jay Cutler's getting a little cocky. He's basically, you know, talking trash to the Green Bay Packers, talking about the good luck covering our receivers in man-to-man coverage. You think this is a smart move by Mr. Jay Cutler, or is he just kind of being cocky, or is this more or less like him just kind of having some confidence, Rob?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, he's got some, you know, he's got some cockiness and he's got some confidence as well, which, you know, I think you need a little bit of both if you're going to play in this league. And so I don't necessarily have a problem. You know, maybe he could have kept it within the locker room and that kind of thing. You don't want to give a team bulletin board material. But, you know, he's just talking up his team, trying to get his team to rally behind him. But I think he's going to go to Green Bay and he's going to get a loss tomorrow night. That's just my opinion. I think Green Bay wakes up, you know, from their performance, losing at home against Green Bay. The Packers won't lose two in a row games at home. That's just my opinion. But Green Bay has to get the running game going. They really do. They, you know, they've been lacking the running game going back towards the end of last season, and it seems like it's carrying over to this year. So that should be a little bit of a concern for Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I'm not a fan of somebody talking, you know, talking trash like that. I mean, it's different to have some confidence, but like you said, man, keep it in the locker room. Jay Cutler's not, like, lighting up, man. He's one of those guys that you turn around, he may have four interceptions or something like that, man. I just don't, you know, I don't know. I think he needs to kind of shut up and play football. You know, this is the first week, you know, of the season. Yeah, you had a good start, you know, but like you said, the Packers, they're definitely going to be ready. This is a rival game. And as you mentioned, I don't think they go 0-2, man. I think they're going to kind of mad as far as what happened with the San Francisco, who played a well of a game. You know, like I said, they're going to be focused in and they're looking for anything. So, Mr. Cutler, you may have four interceptions. You heard it here first. 11-23, 9-12. We'll see how it plays out. I'm just saying.
All right, we shall stay tuned and see. Tune in tomorrow night.
I love it, I love it. Let's talk about some of the most impressive teams that you had for the NFL in week one. I'm going to start this off, and some surprises in this too. But obviously, I got to say, I got to go with my Atlanta Falcons. And memory
He's being biased, America. He's being biased, America. I'm just kidding.
Robert shows a lot of love, man, to your Saints. But, yeah, you know, and like I said, you know, we've been cautiously optimistic being a Falcon fan. I'm not going to lie. And the reason why I say that, you know, I got to give them some love because this was totally unexpected. And that a lot of times whenever you watch the Falcons and that if Michael Turner didn't have a necessarily great game, we ended up not playing well, and we had a loss. And this is one of those games that, you know, Turner only had about 30-something yards rushing, but we were still able to come in and just kind of dominate. So it was pretty pretty amazing as far as seeing the offense go. You're seeing the emergence of a great young player in Julio Jones. And obviously we've had that before, but just kind of having all the pieces and having the right guy to kind of put that piece together, you know, we're pretty excited to see what's going to happen in the future too. So we'll see how that plays out, and hopefully here in Atlanta, we're scared of the word explosive offenses because that's been kind of our downfall, but, you know, we're being very cautiously optimistic as far as the future here. So I'll turn it over to you because, you know, I got some surprises too, and obviously surprising the way that the Jets played. If you looked at them, they were nowhere in the preseason, and for them to kind of explode against what you thought was a pretty good Buffalo Bills team. So I don't know what Bills team showed up there, but you definitely got the impression of them as well too. But like I said, I want to kind of steal this, Rob. I want to throw it over to you and kind of your thoughts as far as who you thought played well as well.
Yes, of course, you know, definitely kudos and congratulations on the big win by the Falcons. I think definitely that was very impressive for the Falcons, very impressive for the Jets, also very impressed with the Ravens' performance as well, but the beatdown against the Bengals. But I'm going to say the team that I'm most impressed with is from week one is the New England Patriots, and I'll tell you why here just really briefly. And last year, the New England Patriots struggled mightily on defense and had the offense, and even they didn't have a running game, much of a running game last year, even with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I think maybe he led the team in rushing with close to 700 yards rushing. Based on what I'm seeing out of Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen, their running game looks pretty strong. The passing game looks strong. But Bill Belichick has the personnel now back on defense, and they were very impressive on defense. And he looked like he's got the edge rushers. He's got the kind of personnel he's looking for. He went into the draft and just added some very nice young pieces to his defense as well as through free agency. And I still think Belichick is the best coach in the NFL. I think when Sean Payton returns, he'll move back into that number two spot right behind Belichick. But now you have the personnel and the defensive parts for him to work with. And so they're the team, and they're, you know, I'm predicting them. We didn't get to it last week, but they were my AFC champion prediction, and I think they're going to be right back in the Super Bowl. So I would say, yeah, definitely impressed with the Falcons, Jets, and the Ravens, but the team I'm most impressed with after week one, still very early, is the New England Patriots.
And I got to say, you know, we got about two and a half minutes here. I got to throw out a couple teams, too. I mean, it's such the most impressive team, too. I know definitely got to like the way San Francisco played physical versus the Packers. That
yes.
was just a great game. Tampa Bay was able to shut down a very, very explosive Panther offense last year, so that's very impressive, too, because Cam Newton was kind of the star, you know, and for them to kind of handle it, that was just kind of, I think, unexpected. And unfortunately, Rob, I hate to bring this up, too, but definitely got to be impressed with the Redskins. I don't want to keep bringing it up, too, with your Saints. I know it's kind of a tough loss for you guys. I don't know if they should... I don't think they kind of expected Robert Griffin III to I think they kind of underestimated the Redskins, but very impressive win for them as well, too. So in a very, very tough situation playing in the Superdome in Louisiana, too.
Yes, absolutely. They did a phenomenal job. Got to give Mike Shanahan a ton of credit. Had a great game plan, and he got RG3 ready, so you definitely got to give him a lot of credit. And definitely the 49ers as well. Definitely very impressed with them as well. And I know we have a few big games we want to talk about, and one of them is the Lions against the 49ers coming up here on Sunday night this weekend. I think it's one of the games of the weekend. And but I clearly like the Niners to take care of business at home in that ball game. If you can shut down the Packers, I think they can definitely follow it up and shut down the Lions at home come Sunday night as well.
Yeah, real quick, Rob, we got about 60 seconds. Let's set up the show for next week. And I know it looks like we're going to have to switch times to Tuesday night. So for those, I know you guys used to listen to us on Wednesday, but hopefully you can switch to that Tuesday. So, Rob, if you can set that up for next week, and we'll talk about the big predictions coming into our week two NFL games as well, if you don't mind, sir.
Yes, next week our show will be on Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, so please tune in. We'll be talking a lot more football, and we're going to be in our OT portion. We're going to be previewing some games for this weekend in the NFL, so definitely if you listen to the rebroadcast on tomorrow, and you can catch our OT portion. Once again, tune in next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Good night, people.
Good night, people, and yes, we want to continue to have some fun with our fantasy leagues, our survival. Well, don't forget to log in and put your picks, all that fun stuff. America, thank you so much. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks to all the crew, big man, all the fun stuff. There's a lot of love. We'll talk to you guys soon. We are officially into the OT portion of the show, and Rob was ready to roll, yes, and talking about some big games coming in for week two, and I think the person that you actually talked about was, yes, Detroit at San Francisco. And very, very upset with Stafford, not because he's on my fantasy league team, but also the fact that he didn't look – I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if he's gunslinging too much. If the Rams kind of had a good scheme plan, it was kind of one of those games where you couldn't believe how many – you know, how Stafford – how bad he was playing. So, you know. I agree with you. I think San Francisco is going to definitely handle their business. I know they have an explosive offense with Calvin Johnson, but the way that the 49ers have been physical and they're going to be able to run the ball, it's going to be tough, I think, for Detroit to handle. And it is at San Francisco, too. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out, sir. So let's talk about some other big games as well. Baltimore at Philadelphia. What's your thoughts? And obviously, interesting because Michael Vick kind of had the same thing. He had about four interceptions, just like Stafford, if you will. What do you think the deal is with that? Bad games.
Yeah, I like Baltimore to go on the road and beat Philadelphia this weekend. I think, you know, I think Michael Vick still has some rust that he needs to shake off, not playing much in the preseason. And I just don't think that light switch is going to be back on that quick against this Raven defense. Oh, they were phenomenal on Monday night. I mean, we talked about on some of our preseason shows that I think maybe Baltimore was dropping off a little bit. But based on what I saw Monday night, it looks like I'm clearly wrong on that one. And the Baltimore Ravens looked phenomenal tonight defensively. And Joe Flacco looks much improved as well. So got to give him a lot of credit. But I like Baltimore to go on the road and get this win at Philadelphia this weekend. And like I said, I just don't think the light switch is going to be on that quickly for Vic, and he's going against a tough opponent too.
Yeah, I agree. Baltimore is definitely playing well. Ray Rice is doing this thing. Flacco definitely having some confidence. Torrey Smith is running well. And like you said, Vic just did not look good. I think he's trying to get his timing down. He didn't play a lot in the preseason, as you mentioned earlier. You know, as much as you would think they would definitely run the ball more, I don't know what they were thinking about, too. So it's just clearly Philadelphia looks like they're out of sync. So Baltimore, like I said, they are definitely locked in. I think they handle business on the road against Philadelphia. Let's talk about another big one here. Hometown guy, Denver at Atlanta. And these are always tough games for me. Obviously, and you got to be a little biased, but my barbershop guy, Alex, you know who you are, sir, big-time Bronco fan, so this is kind of the bane of his existence, man. So I don't talk a lot of junk, man, so I'm hoping that Atlanta pulls us out. He thinks Champ Bailey can shut down everybody. I like to hear you talk about that, Rob, too, but Champ, you got to respect Champ. I'm not saying Champ is no slouch by any means, but I think we have a little bit more weapons. And as a Falcon fan, I'm definitely happy to get Denver early as opposed to getting them late because I know as great as Peyton Manning is, he hasn't really hit his stride. Didn't look good against the Steelers. Obviously, Steelers had some blitzes in the first half and was able to get to him. He definitely calmed down, played a lot better. They had the running game going a little bit. And it's tough. You know, it's going to be a very, very tough game. We lost Grimes for the season, as you guys know. So, that makes us a little bit more scary, but I think the confidence that we have offensively that, we can do just enough to kind of pull it out in a close game versus the Broncos. So that's my pick.
Yeah, well, I actually agree with you. I think the Falcons are going to win this game. They're at home. against Denver. The Falcons have been a very, very good home team under Mike Smith the last few years. And so, yeah, I think I liked I definitely think Atlanta's going to get this win on Monday night and go to 2-0. And I think it should be a good ball game, though. I look at Atlanta to pull us for now something around 27-23. I'm looking at about a four-point victory at home, the Falcons over the Broncos. And it should be a very interesting game. But as you know, as you said, the Falcons just have a few more weapons on offense. Julio Jones, Roddy White, Bebe Thomas is coming in his own for Denver. And but they just don't quite have as many weapons. Was very impressed with the corners of Denver, though, the other night. Champ Bailey and Tracy Porter, former Saint playing and starting there. So they did play extremely well against Pittsburgh. But I think Atlanta wins a very close and a very good ball game.
Gotcha. And I'm gonna ask an off-topic question too, Rob, because obviously we've had a lot of interesting things that happened in the opening season of the NFL. Obviously, having five rookie quarterbacks that started, a couple of guys struggled, if you will. But one thing that we are noticing is that kind of a change in the way that the NFL is moving. And the change I'm talking about is that there's been a lot of quarterbacks throwing for close to 300 yards, and the passing game has been very, very big. And it seems like the running back position is kind of going through an evolution too. And obviously, evolutions, you have defensive evolutions and stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, hopefully I know we're kind of going on a little tangent here, Rob. So, any of your thoughts about kind of how the league is kind of evolving into more of a passing league? And obviously, with watching the way that Robert Griffin did and stuff like that. It's pretty interesting to see that the passing game is definitely, evolving, if you will.
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely – this has been taking place for probably about 6-7 years now, I think, since the league has really truly been a passing league. I mean, you look at last year, Drew Brees broke the all-time passing record over 5,400 yards. But he wasn't the only one who broke Dan Marino's record. I mean, Tom Brady did it as well. Matthew Stafford came close. Aaron Rodgers – if he would have played in the last regular season game, he would have threw for over 5,000 yards. Matt Stafford threw for over 5,000 yards. I mean, it was incredible last year. He had not one, but two quarterbacks broke Dan Marino's record last year. And you had two or three others that came close. I mean, Eli Manning, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had 4,900-some yards passing last year. So,
yeah.
I mean, you had five or six quarterbacks that were right up there coming close to the all-time NFL record, and so it's definitely a passing league. I mean, the rules are set up for you to pass. Well, you know, you can't, you know, bump and run past 5 yards. In the old days, you could a little bit, and so they've made the game, you know, more, I guess, video game friendly. A lot of scoring, a lot of passing, and so that's what the game's come down to. They want it to be entertaining. And so, you know, back in the days, you know, Lester Hayes and those guys, corners for the Raiders, they can bump and run all the way down the sidelines. But nowadays, once you get past 5 yards, you know, you get an illegal use of the hands penalty on the defense. So the game is set up to be really versatile and really, you know, a downfield passing kind of game.
Yeah, that definitely changes a lot for running backs too, because nowadays you'd have to have one dominant running back. And now that position is going to be, I think, less and less important. You'll still have a couple of guys that are going to dominate, such as, you know, Arian Foster and you know, Adrian Peterson, but it definitely changes this coming in the future too. So, you know, more or less guys that can catch up the backfield and little things like that too. So that's something I just noticed. I noticed that there's, like, a lot of guys that are throwing for 300 yards, as you mentioned, and it's just kind of like a shift in the way the philosophy of the league is going too. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think teams are still looking for good running backs, but they're looking for versatile running backs now. They're looking for backs that can run, block, and catch. And so those are – and, you know, teams are now – most teams are not set on one running back these days. You're having two or three rotating running backs, and because you're asking a lot of these guys to do a lot now. And where at first, you know, running backs were just, you know, looking to hand the ball off to them, but they want these guys to be able to catch out of the backfield. They're definitely looking for them to be more versatile in the passing game and be able to pick up, blocking and pick up blitzes and things of that nature as well. So I think teams are definitely still looking for running backs. As we saw, you know, Trent Richardson still was a top five pick. But you can make a case. There are a lot of coaches in this league who probably wouldn't take a running back in the first round anymore. And
yep.
But there's still some out there that probably teams would take a shot at.
Yeah, good deal, good deal. We got about 5 minutes left in the show, Rob. Let's kind of switch gears here and talk about some baseball news and some big things going on as far as the Orioles and your New York Yankees. They're both are tied for first. And the question that was posed is who would win the division? And we're going to kind of sort out, if we have enough time, the National League wild card pitcher. And obviously, I want to jump on this first and kind of hear your thoughts in that. Right now, I still think that it's the Yankees' division to take because they've been there. They've experienced that. They've made that comeback. I know they were down, I think they were down like 10-something games earlier. Something happened, if I'm not mistaken, too. So they're able to kind of like close that gap. And they're playing well. I mean, obviously, I think Derek Jeter had a little small injury, too. But other than that, I think it's theirs and they've got the experience.
Yeah, I still, I definitely still like the Yankees to pull this out. And I totally agree with you. They have the experience. They've been there before. This Orioles team is kind of a newcomer. Both teams won tonight. And there's still a tie at the top of the division. But I still like the Yankees. But the way it's looking, you're going to have to win this division to make the playoffs. And Oakland, as of right now, is the leading candidate to be the wild card in the American League. So this is extremely important. If you want to be the playoffs, one of these teams is going to have to win a division unless Oakland just gets into a slump. But as of right now, only the winner of this division will be in the playoffs because Oakland is the front runner for the AL wild card spot. So this division is extremely important to win.
Gotcha. That's very cool. Like I said, it's going to be very, very tight. You look at, like I said, the standings. As you mentioned, of course, Oakland is right there. They're actually, it looks like, they're like 3.5 games behind, if I'm not mistaken. So they're on it. They've got their eye on that. So it should be a very interesting, very exciting end of the season. Let's talk about the National League. And, obviously, say what you say about the Washington Nationals shutting down Tim Strasburg. They are comfortably in the lead. Obviously, you got the Braves who are they're kind of scaring me here. They're kind of going through that little slump here. They've lost, of course, to Milwaukee again. And you've got, obviously, Atlanta, St. Louis. You got the Dodgers, kind of half a game back. And then you got Pittsburgh, 2.5 games back, too. After their strong start, they're kind of fading as well, too. So right now, being a Braves fan, hopefully, I think they're going to pull it out. But you got to definitely, hopefully, Freddie will kind of finish up and finish strong, and they'll stay focused.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the Braves. You can make a case that the Dodgers or somebody can make a run at the wild card, but I still think it's clearly the Braves is going to be the wild card representative for the National League, and it may not even be close. I mean, it looks like the Nationals are going to win the division. I think that's a safe bet, but I think it's also a safe bet to say that the Braves will hold on to the wild card spot in the National League. I mean, the Dodgers and those teams are just too many games back, and we only have about a couple of weeks left in the season.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, that is it, man. We got 2 minutes, Rob. I'm going to let you close up the show and talk about what's happening next week and just any other thoughts that you want to have. And I want to thank all the listeners for continuing to tune in to the OT portion of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Yes, once again, next week we're going to be on Tuesday night, a special Tuesday night. We're not going to be on Wednesday night or next week, so we're going to be airing on Tuesday night. We'd love to have you to listen in. We'd love to have you all to call in. We'd love to have you all to follow us and tweet us at 12th Man Sports. And also like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Send us some questions via Facebook, Twitter, and always welcome to call in to our show. We're going to be talking a lot more football, recapping week 3 of college football, previewing week 4. We're going to recap week 2 in the NFL, previewing week 3 in the NFL on Tuesday night. So we got a lot to talk about. We'd love to have you all to join us and talk some football with us or anything else that may be happening in the sports world. Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central. What do you got to say, Andre?
That's it, man. We love you guys. Talks with 12th Man, obviously. What is it, 6 p.m. in Hawaii? Is that what it is? You always say that, Rob. I don't care.
5 p.m. in Hawaii. 5 p.m. in Hawaii.
5 p.m. That's right. They're like 6 hours behind us. But there's a lot of love, guys. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. Check out the Sports League. Look forward to the fantasy basketball coming up. We're here every other week on Wednesday. So, yeah, tune in. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.